It would be a waltz, fun, eh?
On goes Ball. Seaford might yet win it here for Wolves. Flaps in the shot. What a goal!
Life better when Wolves win, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to today's episode of the Wolves Fancast. Joining me today are Blake and Andy. Before we get on today's show, how are we both?
Yeah, I think we're doing all right. You know, I actually got to go up to Southampton, so that was a nice little change in scenery. And I've been doing quite well. Been working with the university, so that's been nice. And yeah, just making a go of it.
Fantastic. Andy, I can't remember last time me and you did two, I guess, review shows back to back.
It's been a long time.
Yeah,
very true. I mean, it's been a long time coming, hasn't it? I think to, get something on the board, and now finally we've got two wins to discuss. Doing all right at the minute. I think it could be worse, just a little bit hot and cold, didn't we?
Yeah, just a tad inconsistent, but I think we'll come on to that in a little bit now that we've had a decent amount of games under our belt. But let's pull it back to Sunday, and more importantly to, I guess, 1 o'clock when the team news was announced. And I think we all kind of assumed there'd be some changes with Bruno Lage's press conference and saying, no one's undroppable and things like that. And I kind of very much thought it was geared towards Jimenez in some of it. I could understand some of it. I couldn't understand other bits with Neves. Andy, what was your initial reaction to the team lineup? Because I know in Fancast we were a bit there was a bit of a split in a way, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think the back line was the one that needed freshening up for me, and he kept it exactly the same as he has done for the Brentford game. So I think that was the most surprising thing personally. I wouldn't have been massively disappointed if it had have rested Jimenez, just because it looks like he maybe needs a bit of a break, but at the same time, you want him to get the minutes under his belt. So I can see the theory there. With Neves, though, I mean, Neves was terrible against Tottenham. Like, just misplaced every pass, whether it was 5 yards or 50 yards. There was no mojo to him at all. So I sort of understood why he took him out. And I did think that Dendonka did well against Spurs. So I understand why he's given him the nod ahead of him at that point.
Yeah. Blake, Hwang and Podence came in. I think both did the business when they've appeared this season, particularly in the cup games with Podence and Hwang. Obviously scored against Watford and was probably our brightest spark against Brentford. Were you sort of, trying to think the best way to describe it. How were you feeling, particularly with Traore dropped, because he's been such a divisive player, but in certain regards, how did you kind of see it when the team news was announced?
Yeah, I wasn't too bothered by it. I went up with Stu and he was really quite flustered about it. But I mean, for me, I thought the drops made sense and I thought who we brought on made sense. I mean, granted, I think Trin Sao needs a bit more time in the Premier League before we can really truly evaluate him. But he's been okay. He's just been sort of mediocre, so I certainly don't blame Bruno for that. And then with Traore, I mean, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because I think Traore does a lot on the ball outside of assisting and goal scoring that really helps the team. But at the same time, when we're not getting balls in the back of the net, something has to change. So to me, it made complete sense that we would drop Adama and just try something else. And obviously in the end, well, it kind of worked, but I mean, we got the 3 points, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's one of those where I think the decision was justified, particularly probably around Jimenez. I'm almost having to hold back from talking about Jimenez for a couple of minutes, just because there's some other bits before the goal. I think my initial reaction with the team lineup and also looking at Southampton's was how very mid-table it was, and that surprised me, and in a way that I looked at it and thought, particularly with our defenders as well, that we just didn't seem almost as strong on paper in a way as we had done in previous years. But then I looked at Southampton's lineup, who, you know, I think a year ago they were a bit of a media darling and seemed to have got a lot of good PR, but have now only won four games in 2021. And when I saw their lineup, I thought, you know what, if our forward players turn this on, we're going to win here. So yeah, it for me, it kind of struck me that Wolves are in this position as so with so many other teams, that if we can find goals, we'll be in the top half of the league. If we don't, we'll finish between 12th and 15th. And it's just this fluctuation that we're going to have, depending on how effective we are in front of goal. Because I think everyone, to be honest, from about 9th downwards, are all a bit poor at the back, because you're a mid-table, lower Prem team. And it's just who's got someone who can score. I guess going on to
that. It's interesting that you bring that up as well, because we've got, I mean, you look at the fixture list and the next 8 matches are essentially all going to be mid-table fixtures.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really big run-in for us, because, I mean, you'd be hoping that Wolves would win at least 50% of these next 8 games. I mean, no doubt about it. And, well, certainly getting 3 points at Southampton is, in my opinion, a really big deal, especially when we haven't been scoring, we haven't been getting points. It did feel mid-table. Granted, I don't know how Southampton are going to do moving forward. Based on the performance that we saw, it doesn't exactly look as if they're going to be doing too well this year. It was just sort of one of those games which was just sort of, I don't know what the word is, but just sort of mediocre through and through. Yeah.
Yeah, like it felt a bit scrappy in points. That I think I could see it from Wolves' point of view that we struggled in the final third, and you know, that's a really common thread in a lot of teams who aren't quite good enough to push into that top 8, let's say. But you could see the same from Southampton. I did like a little bit of a scroll through some Southampton hashtags, and they said exactly the same thing and almost the same complaints we have about Wolves that they had, which I found really interesting. And, you know, we had Semedo missing a really clear-cut chance within about 4 minutes. And I'm a big fan of Semedo, but, and I like the long pause on a but there, I do kind of question his ability in a way, that if we're kind of creating the space for somebody like him, he needs to be better in those situations. And I don't like to draw comparisons to Doherty because he's no longer here. But is there an argument, would you say, that Hoover would be potentially more effective playing at right wing back if a lot of our chances are going to seemingly fall to a wing back?
I think the difficulty is obviously when he's seen Hoover in fits and starts. And to be honest, he doesn't look any great shakes on the ball either. He looks tidy and competent, but I haven't seen anything from him to suggest that he's going to be any better than Semedo. He doesn't appear to be very good at crossing. We don't know what his shooting's like, purely because we haven't seen enough of him. And really, I think that's Semedo's biggest weakness, is his shooting. He's got into some really good positions that I would expect a player of his calibre to be putting away. Obviously, that's the reason why he's not still at Barcelona and he's now at Wolverhampton Wanderers, though, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, I just haven't seen that much from any players, to be honest, that have really looked like they're going to be goal scorers this season. So I don't necessarily know what you do to try and light that fire. I mean, thankfully, it seems like Jimenez is hopefully a little bit back to normal. Not fully, but we'll talk about that in a bit. But yeah, I just... For me, it's difficult because I don't know where these goals are going to come from.
No, and I think that the difference between Wolves, say, finishing in the top half and in the bottom half is basically on the shoulders of Raul Jimenez, it appears. And it's a big burden for a player who's had to come back from so much to, you know, be where he is today. And it felt against Brentford when he missed that chance, and you know, he tore off the headband, and you know, the rain could have started pouring down on him if it was a movie. And, you know, him realizing that football is life. And then, you know, he was the bright spark on Sunday for us. He was the one who was trying to make it happen. And just for little things where, you know, he's trying, you know, these in-air back heel flicks that he was doing 2 years ago. And a player without confidence doesn't do that. That's it for me. We a lot of people made fun of him for missing that, you know, for mucking up the Rabona, pulling a David Dunn, as it were. And then missing the header, you know, that it's one of those things, but you could see it really got to him. But I think after seeing him play for us for so long now, we know what sort of character he is, would you say? That he is not, yeah. He is someone who has got a lot of internal confidence and resilience, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. He's never really shied away, has he? When our backs have been against the wall, like he's, like as much people laud Cody for throwing himself in front of a ball to stop a certain goal, as we've seen, I fully expect Jimenez would be doing the exact same thing, but in a striker's position. Like, he's very much a team player. It's all about the team. And as you say, he seems like a confident chap off the pitch, and he obviously carries that with him onto the pitch. He does have a swagger about him. Sometimes it doesn't always come off, like the fouled Rabona and whatnot, but to still have the balls to try and do that is something, really. And that's quite a special move to try and do.
Yeah, he puts everything on the pitch, and, you know, he was always doing that stuff ever since he got here in the first place. So, I mean, I'm glad that he's doing it again, because if we want him to be the player that he was before the incident, then he's going to have to learn to pick these things back up. And, you know, there's no real way to do it other than trial and effort and trial and response and all that stuff.
You've both said as well, like, the supporting cast probably aren't going to chip in with many goals. So is Jimenez or bust, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And we've had this problem for a number of years now where just people aren't picking up the baton. Pedence is probably the only other player who looks like he's got some kind of goal-scoring record in him. Whether or not that will be over five is another story. But I think when you look at the
Thing
league,
is, too, I mean, he was just completely lost at Southampton. Like, he just, I mean, he just did not show up. I mean, every single pass he played was awry. It just never looked like he was on ever since kickoff. So it's just like even the players that could possibly score just seem to be so inconsistent.
Mm. And yeah, like Pedence is so tenacious that you expect him to get stuck in. Even if he's not playing well, he's usually causing problems, whether that's by breaking the rules of the game or by just getting in people's faces. But we didn't even have that with Pedence this weekend, which was quite alarming off the back of having quite a break from playing for us. I fully expected him to be up for it. And he did look a step off it, I thought.
Yeah, it was a real shame because he's played well when he's featured so far this season and did well in the cup against Spurs as well. But I was going to say, we've talked a little bit about Jimenez and about what he brought to the table. Let's listen to the magical moment all over again.
Jimenez, muscles on Benderek. Still Jimenez. Is this his moment? Wonderful goal for the Mexican. Raul Jimenez is back.
I mean, there were so many beautiful things about that goal, from the quick thinking of Jose Sarr, that I think I castigated Cody. No, cascade is too strong a word. But I think one of my big criticisms of him the last 18 months is that after Jota's left, he's, you know, no one's really looking for that ball over the top. And we've got the players who can do it. So if we've got Jose Sarr, who's able to, you know, launch a ball 70 yards downfield and stretch for play, fantastic. But just the strength to just muscle off Big Bednarak, the cut inside, and I said, I mentioned about how, you know, what a confident player does. A confident player will sell the dummy like he's, you know, like he's playing FIFA on amateur mode, and just, you know, then just have the, you know, the calmness to roll it in the back of the net. He didn't snatch at it when he could have done first time. if he was really anxious, he probably would have taken extra touch and maybe even passed it to Podence. But no, he knew what he was doing. And it was really nice to see him score a goal. But obviously, fantastic to see him score. But it wasn't like just a 6-yard scuffer. It was proper Hollywood stuff, would you say?
Well, it was a proper classic Jimenez goal. I mean, it reminded me so much of the goal he scored against Tottenham before the world went into lockdown. It was just very patient, you know, took his time and then just slotted it right into the back of the net. And, you know, that's exactly what you want to see because, I mean, so far this season, he's just looked so timid and so just that little bit off. But at least for those, whatever, that play, I mean, he was just on and he just knew everything that was going to happen. And he just waited, slotted it home. And that was it.
It was, I tweeted out afterwards that it was world-class. It was a world-class finish. Like everything he did was to absolute perfection. The number of times we've seen him this season in a similar position and his touch is just off. He treads on the ball. He overhits it. He doesn't quite come off. Everything he needed to do there, he did like within an inch of its life. It was perfect. Yeah. And to have the balls to just roll it into the bottom corner as the keeper was coming out, it was beautiful. And the celebrations, the scenes of Podence just losing his rag when they were up with the rest of the crowd, it was wonderful to see. It was like one of those moments that football was made for. And you could genuinely tell that everybody, like a lot of people on Twitter who don't follow Wolves, they were like happy to see that Jimenez had scored. And it's the kind of thing that brings everyone together. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I think I can't remember the last time I celebrated an individual player scoring so much.
Yeah,
because you don't like. I think the last time I think was probably when Jack Price maybe scored for Wolves, and like that's only because he's someone who just didn't score goals. I was really struggling to think of a player who it's like we don't because you don't celebrate an individual scoring. We just celebrate Wolves scoring.
To be fair, Cody's goal against Huddersfield, that penalty, I think that was one of those moments.
Yeah,
you know that was. When we had won, won that game essentially. So
I'll take that. That's a really good one against Bolton. That's a really good example of it. But it happens so rarely, doesn't it? That we just kind of just overlook what an achievement sometimes scoring can be for a player. And I say the fact it was. You know, it was box office stuff from, you know, the main number nine. It was the difference between two teams at the end of the day that, you know, they don't have a Danny Ings anymore who's going to get them 10, 15 goals a season. We hopefully do now. And, you know, fingers crossed that's the real stepping board for him to push on again because he's had half chances. He's had some, but, you know, he's not quite clicked. It felt like it all clicked for him on Sunday. And, you know, that's really important for Wolves going forward. The thing I found really kind of cool about the goal, Andy mentions about everyone celebrating, and it's two players I want to talk about, actually, was Connor Cody, who is usually, you know, the piggyback king when it comes to goal celebrations. He didn't immediately run over to Jimenez, if you saw, which is what I thought would happen. He'd be like the third person there behind Podence or whatever. He actually ran and celebrated with Jose Sarr because of his assist. And I thought that was really kind of cool and interesting to see because actually he's a defender, he's a goalkeeper, and it's recognising we were people's games. But actually I thought both of them had really strong games and particularly Cody's been under a lot of criticism, not least probably from quarters of the fan cast, and I think a lot of it's justified. There's some parts that probably aren't justified as well, but I think he was probably our best defender on Saturday. He did everything that was needed of him and more.
Absolutely. He marshalled the defence perfectly. As you said, we've given him plenty of criticism, not just this season, and you know he was off it for large portions of last season as well. But he looked like Cody of old. I remember in the Brentford game, I think it was you, Rich, in the podcast afterwards, you said that he's not doing those raking balls to the fullbacks and bomb. And he was trying to do that. It's almost like he listened to the podcast and heeded your advice because he was trying to be the Cody that we know he can be. And yeah, a couple of the passes went astray and he wasn't the only one who was guilty of that by any stretch of the imagination. but he's another one who just didn't shy away. He was there trying to get us moving, trying to get us up the pitch. I thought he was excellent. It was one of his better games for a long time, to be honest.
Yeah.
It wasn't perfect, but it was far better than what he's been putting in recently. So, yeah, you just can't complain.
No, exactly. And, you never not expecting any player to, find their man every time with a raking pass over the top. And a lot of it almost feels quite positional play in the way that actually, let's see if we can stretch from it. Might not happen this time, but maybe the next time and open things up. And, for me, it's just about playing to his strengths. That he could be a weakness, as it were. In terms of he's not a natural centre half. He's not as he can get physically out-muscled more than other players, and he doesn't have the speed like some things like that. But, play to his strengths. We always support him with two extra players. See if we can give him the opportunity to play those longer passes. And, it's interesting, maybe, or indicative of the fact that Ruben Neves doesn't start, but Connor Cody then has more of a prime passing role in the team, maybe. I don't know. Because I sometimes felt they get kind of caught up in each other's toes sometimes when it comes to sort of that longer passing. Fingers crossed, again, it's an opportunity for Cody to push on as well, because he's had his critics, and we can talk about what a fantastic guy and a fantastic leader he is of the team, but at the end of the day, we need players performing and doing it to their best, and he can be a really solid player for this Wolves team. But the other player sort of mentioning that embrace was Jose Sarr, who arguably had his best game in the Wolves shirt so far.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. He's my man of the match. I mean, he did wonderfully. And one of the things that I've been very kind of confused about is one of the things that really excited me about signing Jose Sarr was that it seemed like his distribution was so much better than Patricio's. But interesting, we play out the back like every single time. So I'm kind of hoping that now that he's gotten this assist that we kind of let him hoof it up the pitch a bit more.
Feels a bit rudimental, but it's got its purpose, and you see the likes of Man City do it often enough, and Liverpool. So
yeah, and it's not hoofing it up the pitch, it's a long pass. He knew what he was doing. He played for and got it. Like, it's not like he just twatted it up the field and hoped it came off. Like, he planned it and it worked to perfection. And I think Jose Sarr will cost us a few more goals from shots that you might expect Patricio to save, but I think we will get more goals because of his proactive forward thinking play as well. So I think you might find we're probably better off in the long run with someone like Sarr over Patricio.
Yeah, I think their contrasting styles between Patricio and Sarr were really sort of amplified, weren't they? In the last couple of games, but importantly on Sunday, with that sort of pass that John Ruddy does it a lot as well, and he did it against Spurs as well, where he'll get the ball, he'll run, and if he recognises that the fullbacks just aren't coming back at all quickly, he'll hit that space. And as I say, we've got really attacking players. It bewilders me a lot when it comes to Traore, that most of his goals in a Wolves shirt have come from him getting one-on-one with a goalkeeper and beating the last man with his pace. But for some reason, he starts 20 yards back. And if he's up there, why not? Just see if we can test them, see if we can stretch the play and open up even a, if it opens up a gap and we progress from there maybe. But yeah, I thought Sarr, again, as I say, had his best game in a Wolves shirt and was probably man of the match as well for some of the saves he made. And, I don't think Southampton really pummeled us under pressure at all, but he did enough to kind of just keep the ship steady, as it were, particularly with the back line in front of him. Anyone else impress you both? I thought Dendonka had a decent game, did his usual running around, but, I think everything played all right.
He got into people's faces and just did what he needed to do to try and break up their play. Ultimately, I don't think Southampton are that good a team. Luckily, they don't really have anything like Armstrong. I don't think he's going to be a replacement for Ings long term. James Ward-Prowse, I think he's one of the most overrated players in the Premier League. That defence is slower than shit. So I think all we had to do was beat what was in front of us, and that's exactly what we did. We didn't have to expend any more energy than what we already did. So I think it was a good all-round team performance. There was very few standout performances from me.
Yeah, as I said before, it was just pretty, you know, mediocre. I mean, it was run-of-the-mill. It was really quiet, and it was just, you know, we had that one opportunity from him, and as granted, Semedo could have scored. But, I mean, other than that, there just wasn't really that much that happened. So, yeah, I mean, I don't want to say that it was a poor performance, because I don't think that that's particularly fair, but it just kind of felt like we were going through the motions, and granted, it worked in the end, so I can't complain any. But, you know, it's funny because I think that our performances against, you know, Tottenham and, you know, not the cup, but in the league, and Man United and Leicester were all, to be honest, 10 times better than this one. But, you know, as Andy said, it was about beating the team that was in front of us. And that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, I think it's the important thing for Wolves in this game coming into the Newcastle game, and so the good run of games we've got coming up, it's about getting points on the board and just being that little bit more consistent. And if it means that some of the flair goes, I think it's a sacrifice I'm willing to take, particularly if it means if you get goals like we did against Southampton. Blake, you've already mentioned your man of the match. Andy, who are you thinking for yours?
I think you can make an argument for Saar, but for me, it's Jimenez. That goal was like it was the real standout moment of the game. And I know Saar played his role in that, but Jimenez had a lot of work to do. And that was the one moment of genuine class throughout the game for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a toss up between Saar and Jimenez. And, you know, the amount of goals Jimenez seems to score and assist against Southampton is impressive, and I'm going to give it him just because of how much work he had to do to score. If it was, you know, just it was a ball over the top and he ran through, I'd maybe give it Saar, but the fact that, you know, it involved about three moments of genuinely fantastic forward play, I'm going to give it Jimenez. But you know what, the best thing about this for me is it's so nice to have an option. Which, it's like even against Watford, it was a bit not quite sure. But that pretty much wraps up the Southampton chat. We'll be back after this to talk a little bit of news, do a very, I was going to say, super fun quiz, trademarked.
We'll see
how it goes. I've let them know what the theme is, and I got a muted response. We'll put it that way, guys. And we'll also be coming back with Twitter Corner. So we'll be right. We'll be back just after this break. Hi, it's Richard from Wolves Fancast here. Just interrupting today's show before we get back to some questionable opinions and opinionated questions to talk to you a little bit about our sponsors, Pixel Yeti Media. They are a design agency that put you and your business first, from web design, logo and branding design, and marketing. If you have any marketing needs, get in touch with them to find out how they can help you get it right. They are over at pixelyetimedia.com. Now let's get back to a show where we can give you some really forced wordplay, niche cultural references, and maybe even a bit of football talk. Hello and welcome back, everybody. So we didn't do a show previewing or frankly reviewing it, but Wolves are out of the Carabao Cup. Not my favourite energy drink, if you're wondering, but that's a different story for another day. I don't know why I decided to lean with that, to be honest. Monster, if you're asking. No reason whatsoever I'm dropping that in. But if they fancy sponsoring us, at Wolves Fancast. Anyway, Wolves are out of the cup. Were you guys particularly bothered? It was a weird game because we went 2-0 down, we dragged it back. We didn't have extra time before penalties, which is an interesting concept. We won't go into nuts and bolts of it, guys, because I feel like no one's really too fussed about it, pretty much because we got a win against Southampton, to be fair. But are we a bit disappointed that we're not having a cup win in this competition, or
Well, I'm a big fan of the Cup still. I mean, I know so many people are still very disenfranchised with them, but I don't know. There's just something about those midweek floodlit fixtures that just, you know, just very cozy, and there's just something about them that I really like. So I was a bit disappointed. That being said, when we went 2-0 down after, what, like 20 minutes, I thought that it was just going to be an absolute blowout. I thought we were going to be beaten like 6-0, and, you know, it was just going to be a complete nightmare. But to be fair, we came back and we equalized. And to be honest, I don't think we were ever going to do more than that. Our penalty taking is rubbish, to put it politely. I mean, when Connor Cody is taking your fifth pen, you're in some trouble. So I don't think we were ever going to advance on penalties. But I think to come back at least showed some resilience and showed that we're, you know, at least not that much in trouble. So, yeah, that's kind of my way of thinking about it.
I would have liked a cuppa, and don't get me wrong, but the way we went out, ultimately, I wasn't too disappointed. Like, that first half an hour was as bad as anything we've seen this season. But from probably about 30 minutes onward, there was only one team in it from that point. And then penalties, it's just flip of a coin, isn't it? So it is what it is.
Yeah, I think, the quality of our penalties had a decent amount to be desired for. And
horrific.
I've seen enough penalties from Connor Cody to know he probably shouldn't be in your top five choices. I was a bit, when we were sort of looking towards penalties, I was a bit like, I wonder what Adama Traore taking a penalty looks like. Because it feels very odd to see him striking a stationary ball. Similar with Peter Crouch. You know, just wouldn't have felt quite right. Mm.
It's not natural.
No. I think it'll be against the laws of nature for me personally. But also at the same time, I don't think I'd like the idea if I was a goalkeeper and seeing just a Adama Traore, because he wouldn't take a short, I'd like to think he'd take like an excessively long run.
For the halfway line, yeah.
Yeah, just juggernaut like speed. And then he'd probably like shank the ball really wide. Mm-hmm. But we will live to find out. In terms of Wolves news this week, the big one that dropped was Wolves records. Essentially, for those who haven't seen or heard, but the club are essentially launching a record producing company, promoting local bands in particular. It's sort of in line with promoting the Wolves brand, as it were, globally and also through the community. Something different, as far as I'm aware, there's not any other football clubs sort of doing something like this. The club have been under a lot of flack, rightly or wrongly, with some of the marketing and the franchisey nature of what they look like they're trying to do, replicating things like the Red Bull model with Leipzig and Salzburg, and some people kind of call it corny, I guess. But I guess I want to sort of gauge your guys' thoughts on Wolves having a record company, which feels very odd to say, but also I guess sort of the philosophy of what they're trying to do in general, because you can see it expanding into other areas of, you know, culture and mainstream really, really easy. I know Fosen have produced films as well, haven't they? I'm right in thinking. I'm pretty sure they're like Chinese films, so there's a lot of scope if it goes right as well.
Absolutely. And ultimately, if some kid on the other side of the world comes to Wolverhampton Wanderers through some song somewhere, fine, great. I mean, we've got Blake as proof that you don't necessarily need a record company to do that. But if he just gets more eyes on the brand, and as much as I hate saying the word brand when you're talking about a football club, that is where we are now. And I think that's why a lot of people have been pissy about it, because they want us to be world leaders without making the steps to be world leaders. And these are the kind of things that you need to do now and make steps in other markets. It's just the way of the world, unfortunately.
I certainly understand why certain fans are frustrated about it. Like, it's not something that I particularly love. But then again, it's like, I think all of us knew that this was going to happen from day one. I mean, Fosen have been very clear about what their goals are with Wolves are going to be. And it just seemed to me, you know, this was always going to be the kind of stuff that happened. I mean, we all saw the fashion show that happened, I think, 1 or 2 years ago. Yeah, and it's like, you know, this is just going to be the future of Wolves if Fosun continue to be our owners. So, you know, regardless of whether or not you like it or not, get used to it. I mean, this is just the reality of the situation. Now, it is something to take note because obviously you don't just want Wolves to become a franchise and, I don't know, move to China and play in the Super League or something ridiculous like that. But, you know, of all things that Wolves fans could be pissed off about, I think this is probably the least worrisome, all things considered.
Yeah. And I think if I stick to their promises about promoting local artists as well, I think Andy's going to scowl me for this, but I'm probably slightly too young to remember a lot of the wider music scene. You know, I was still about for when Little Civic was there, but I was right at the end, so to speak. And a lot of the places like that aren't really there anymore. And Wolverhampton doesn't quite have that nightlife scene. It doesn't quite have the music scene anymore. The redevelopment of the Civic hasn't helped that. I'm going to go on a really bad rant here if I'm not careful. But actually, if this is done right, it could be a really powerful thing within the community and actually linking up different people in the city, I think.
Mm-hmm. Wolverhampton's in dire need of regeneration. Like, I mean, I've mentioned before, I work within a government department in regards to retail in Wolverhampton, and the city is struggling massively. And just the idea of promoting Wolverhampton via a record label, brilliant. It's what's needed to get people coming to the city and get it moving in the right direction again.
Now, I was going to say, before we move on, I do have one question for you both, though, only because Andy sort of half alluded to about if they hear Wolverhampton. What's your favourite song, which has got a city in the title? And how can we, or place, I guess. I know it's a difficult one. Because when you said it, I was like Midnight Train to Georgia. And it's like, is that something that Wolves could do or don't? So, yeah.
I'm a big Billy Joel fan, so it would be New York State of Mind, personally. But good choice. New York, Wolverhampton, I mean, yeah, worlds apart.
Yeah.
Does House in New Orleans count? I think it does. I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, really.
Close enough. So, yeah.
I'll give you that. Yeah. Good choices. Good choices. Right. Now we've done a little bit of irrelevance with that. I was going to go Walking in Memphis, but you know what? I bet there's a lot we could pick.
Are there any, though, with English cities? I can't think of any. I mean, Fog on the Tyne is probably the closest we can get.
London Calling.
London Calling, but that's...
Yeah. Okay, The Clash, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's going to be one with, like, Liverpool in the title, maybe.
I'm sure Matt will be screaming at the
yeah, podcast. I was going to say, I feel like we could be doing a deep dive into Google after this.
That's another podcast for another day. That
yeah, I was going to say, here's your time to promote Cage Fighters, Andy. Not careful. Okay. So, the quiz for today, guys. It's very rarely I do any prep, as you know. And for 2 weeks in a row, I've actually done a really low level of prep to do a quiz for you both. Essentially, the thought occurred to me because last week we talked about Wolves having a new training kit sponsor. And I find it really interesting now. I think I've changed the rules how you can have a lot more sponsors. So you can have an official drink sponsor, you can have an official, you know, coffee sponsor in Nigeria and stuff like that, and really promote your brand and get loads of extra revenue. And Wolves have gone down this path. We've just talked about the commercialization of a football club. So I've done a bit of digging, by which I mean I went on the Wolves website, and it turns out we actually have a quite large number of partners, as they describe them, which is 23 in total. It breaks up into three different areas. So they've got main partners, they've got global partners, and official partners. Now, the challenge I've got for you guys today is how many of these can you name? The main partners are essentially sponsors, I mean, as I've mentioned before, Blake's wearing at least two of them, and I've half mentioned one already. And then the other ones, they're quite wide ranging, to be fair. So some of them you might recognise, and some of them might kick yourselves because you might have seen the Wolves did a post about it, or, you know, sometimes it's like sponsored. They sometimes do like a sponsored tweet and things like that. Some of them you'll not have heard of at all. If you get some of these right, I will know you're cheating. It is as simple as that, unless you are really up to date with your Chinese acoustic companies or Chinese liquor companies. So let's see how many we can name. I think if we try and take it one at a time, we'll see how far we get. If we struggle after the first four, then I'm just going to start naming them. We can kind of go really. So, Andy, can you think of a sponsor / partner of Wolves?
So Manbet X.
Yeah, that's number one. They're the main kit sponsor. Mm. Probably our highest paying one, to be fair, as well.
I still have no idea how to pronounce it, but is it Bitsy?
Yes.
I still don't know how to pronounce it, to be fair.
I was going to say, I'd go for Bitsy. There are sleeve sponsors?
Yeah, there's a shoulder.
Shoulder sponsor. Right, back over to Andy.
So I vaguely recall that we were, last season at least, we had Manscaped came on board as the official men's grooming sponsor. Are they still with us?
I don't think they are, I'm afraid. Oh, okay. Not going to the website at least, which might mean that they probably are and they've not been updated. but yes, I think we had Manscaped and Dove last season, didn't we? In different departments. Mm.
Yeah.
But no, they're not on the on the current list. But I like the trail of thought because there are certain things around that. I can't see a one similar to that, but think outside the box on those. And I've already mentioned a company as well during the podcast.
I'm surprised we don't see it more often. I believe they're a partner. Is Thomas Cook still with us?
No, they're not.
Okay.
Because they went belly up, I believe.
They go under.
Well,
there we go.
Yeah.
I thought they were still doing like, I knew the airline went down, but I thought they were still doing like some little stuff on the side.
I don't think so. They got bought out by a different one because I think Fosun tried to buy them out because I think they had originally had interest in them. Yeah. Should we do the other two main partners who we kind of talked about one last week in terms of cruises and, of course, the shirt sponsor? So there.
Yeah.
We got Castor for the shirt and Royal Caribbean Cruise, who, again, if you're interested, Fancast are happy to work in collaboration with you for free tickets. we'll just leave that there. So global partners, there's seven up for grabs, including one, which actually used to be the main kit sponsor about 6 years ago.
The one that you've mentioned already in the podcast is Monster.
Yeah,
they sponsor us.
They are the official energy drink partner of
Roof. Okay.
Again, if they want us to do any promotional work for an exchange of goods and or services, then you'll be getting to realise, guys, that a lot of this is basically a ploy for me to pitch for sponsorship. I've decided to go very Wayne's World with this. Because I think if Wolves can, then we should just empower trickle-down economics. Shall I list off some of the others, or have you got any other names in mind, guys?
I guess my only question is, are we actually partners with Goodyear, or was that just for the classic kits?
I think that was just for the classic kits from back in the day. So, as listed on the website... I'm almost going to read some which are sort of out of order because we might know. Energy Angel are the official energy sponsor, who sometimes I think they sponsor for women's kit as well.
They just sponsored the Fan Zone thing now.
So they've come into a little bit. If you ever had a beer inside Molyneux, it'll be a Carling beer.
Because they're
our sponsor. Who else we've got? Gambling wise, you've got Bet365 as the global partner. And IT, you've got Silverbug, who used to sponsor. The other ones in there, who I'm pretty sure I can't assume you really wouldn't get, were Global Reach, who are a foreign exchange company. And Tizo, who, from what I can gather from a very quick Google, are a Chinese like sound acoustics company. Which
our Sing Out one, because I remember we had a link with those. Are they Chinese beer or something like that?
Yeah. In terms of official partners, which is where we kind of go into a bit of not murkiness, but it gets interesting. But you've got Cadbury. You've got a company called Repex, R-E-P-X, who do like pay cards. That seems like things like Monzo. Forgive me if I'm completely wrong there, guys. If you give me a script, I'm happy to read it out. we can talk rates. It's fine. Reconomy, who I believe they're a waste management company based all over the place, but they also sponsor like the Goal of the Day tweets as well, I think. I think it's them anyway. We got a really murky one, in my opinion, which is YoGym, which is a Chinese regional fitness partner.
Okay.
Feels needed.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything. We might not be the right business to promote them, though. I'll be honest. You've got DIS, who do the graphics. So they're the ones who have kind of kitted out the new tunnel and stuff like that. They can do a bit of everything. Boyle Sports, despite us having Bet365 as the global partner of official partners, I don't quite know the cut-off point on that one. Wensfield Taxis for a bit of local rep, which I was a big fan of seeing on there, same as A&H Construction. I'm guessing they do bits and bobs around the stadium and training ground. I'm going to leave one of these to last. So skip forward. You've got University of Wolverhampton, a company called Recover Pro, who are like fitness technology, like make massage machines. AstroPay, which is an online payment solutions company. But I think it's just about transferring money quickly and whatever. The last one was a company called M Spirit. I looked online on the Wolves website and the link didn't take me anywhere particularly. It's like, oh, you should be trying to look for this website. Clicked on that. I did try Googling M Spirit Wolves, and then it just tried to find me like what my wolf spirit was. And then I got down a bit of a rabbit hole, and we're recording in 5 minutes, and you know, but basically, yes, I potentially do have the spirit of a wolf. But anyway, it actually, I managed to dig through eventually and found out that they're sort of like a Chinese liquor company. So we will find out, I guess. But yeah, a lot of sponsors, which I hadn't quite appreciated for the sort of the vast lengths that, well, frankly, Wolves go to these days.
It's just anything for a pound, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
We're not our own. I mean, Man United, I remember quite famously, had their own noodle sponsor or something. Equally insane.
I know Liverpool have got the official donut partner, which I just find crazy. Before we kind of wrap up with Twitter Corner, guys, the other thing I wanted to mention, just because it's literally happening live at the moment, is Fabio Silva's playing tonight, or played tonight in the under-23s and scored. I think they eventually lost to Sunderland, but do we think it's a good thing for him that he's playing? Yeah, well, frankly, that he's getting a bit more game time because he's someone who definitely needs it at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, again, if we're not going to drop him in, I just don't see him coming on. And he definitely needs more time. I mean, that was really clear last year. I think it's clear for the few appearances he's made this season. He's just not ready yet. And, you know, God knows if that was a real signing or a Mendes thing. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see. So, yeah, it's just, I'm glad that he is getting playing time, but I just don't think that he fits into the first team right now.
No, he was really poor against Tottenham. I thought Every time the ball got to him, he just didn't stick at all. Every time he got near him, the ball ended up back coming at us. So it was, if he's not going to get any game time for the first team, whilst the under-23s won't prepare him, it'll prepare him a damn sight better than just warming the bench. So it's the lesser of two evils, really, I think.
Yeah, completely agree. And fingers crossed, you know, he can play enough and score enough, and the same scoring tonight is exactly what he needed to do, isn't it? Just keep ticking over. Let's head over to Twitter Corner before we finish then, guys. So thanks everyone for your questions. Big fan of actually a lot of the questions today, because you've pitched it just right for the fan cast, to be honest. There's one football question, the rest are either loosely football based or not football based at all. So thank you so much, guys. We'll start with friend of the show, Nag King Wolf 84, noting the possibility of banning overseas gambling firms on shirts. Which company would you have sponsoring us? He suggests Duracell. So I guess what company would you like to see on the front of Wolves kit?
I'd want a big name, ideally, because they'd pay them more money. So someone like Samsung would be fantastic.
As an American, I want to go back to Goodyear.
Yeah,
I mean, I just think it looks beautiful on any kit, and yeah, Doritos is good too for the gold. Yeah,
I was gonna say, I did feel Doritos would be a good one.
There was too much mocking when we had Doritos. Yeah. Can't go back to that.
Maybe I'm thinking. See, I'm going the opposite direction to Andy. Instead of going massive, go local. Maybe have like, I don't know, like pork joint or something like that instead of Charlie's Fish Bar.
Yeah,
just have Gifford. Maybe we have like the throne or something like that. No, that'll be it. We they'd have the Gifford sign and whatever, but all the, you know, the pre-match shots, they'd all just be sitting in the chair as their one.
I like it. Yeah. Even.
So that could work. Andy Smith asks, is there such thing as goalophobia, and does Semedo suffer with it? I mean, do we think it's like viral and it spreads airborne? And like, you know, something like William Jose is, you know, stop me before I say something really bad about COVID, guys.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like a lot of, whatever it is, it seems like a lot of our players have it at the moment. So, yeah, it's just, it is what it is. But I do see a lot of players who just cannot seem to figure out where the goal even is. So I think that's a good way of putting it, to be fair.
Goalophobia is the way forward, I think.
Okay. One of our own, Stu Hall, asks, have you ever eaten a cheeseburger upside down?
Like, weirdly, well, I say weirdly, yes. The reason being, if you hold it the normal way, the bottom of the burger just soaks up the juices, and having a beard, you have to be really careful the way you eat certain foods. So if you have it upside down, the juices off it would just run into the bigger bun. So it makes it better. It's a beard thing.
It's a beard thing. Fair enough.
I don't think I ever have. Now that I actually think about it, like, I don't know why you would. I mean, other than apparently having a beard, then yeah.
The other terrible thing to eat, cereal with a beard, is a fucking nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah,
I've weirdly seen you eat cereal. Three shows before, and it just feels like it is a dance with death every time.
Awkward.
Yeah. I haven't, but I will do next time. I was then thinking about how you layer it as well, and you know, I'm assuming we're just kind of stacking bread, burger, cheese, bread, or back way, however you want to call it, and then rotating. But I'm guessing there must be people in the world who go cheese then burger.
No, that's wrong.
Yeah, that's wrong. But
you put it on top, and yeah.
But you're about to turn over a burger and do exactly the same thing.
I mean, you could always technically go cheese underneath and above. You could double cheese it.
Yeah, you could double cheese.
But I'm thinking, like, if we're just going to go in classic, there must be someone out there who does it. Do you reckon?
There's got to be some weirdo out there. Probably Stu, to be honest.
I was going
to
say it's definitely Stu.
Definitely Stu.
There's a reason he's asking. right. Last two questions. Would you rather fight one Adama-sized Podent or two Podent-sized Adamas? Now, I don't quite know what you mean, so interpret it however you want.
It's interesting he's asked this because I was always really curious how Adama got as big as he is. And I always thought, dude, he's got to be on steroids or something like that. And I looked it up and it actually turns out that the type of muscle he has is far weaker than most kinds of muscle. So essentially it's muscle that you get from working out a lot rather than like lifting a lot of weight. So I'd probably do the Adama-sized Podents, I think that's what he said.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
I'm
interpreting that correctly. If it's a Podents with the musculature of Adama, then I think that's who I would fight.
Yeah, I'll say it can be interpreted a couple of different ways. Andy, you struck this on who have an opinion on this.
I reckon Podents is a right nasty little bastard. So I wouldn't want to fight him at any size, to be honest. Whereas Blake's obviously done the math on Adama's weakness. So I agree. I'll fight the Adama, the Podent-sized Adama. Yeah.
I think I'd probably go for that as well. But I can't quite justify it, if you know what I mean. Like, it'll be it's what my subconscious is telling me rather than any sort of reasoning at that point. that was from 8 Louis, by the way. Last question we've got is from Koza, who says, are we more feared under Large or Nuno? Now, I guess it depends on what era of Nuno. So, I mean, let's say we just go 12 months ago because we lost to West Ham 4-0. Pretty much 12 months ago to the day. I think it was today or yesterday. So, you know, just cast your minds back to, I guess, this point of the season last year, in terms of, I guess, sort of what you think the perception is of Wolves now and what it was then.
I don't know if we've seen enough of Bruno to really say if other teams should really fear us yet. I mean, granted, we have been so much more attacking, and you can just see the difference in, I mean, just about any small dosage of Wolves that you watch this year. But does that actually make us more scary? I'm not so sure, because, I mean, the thing about Wolves under Nuno was we could just sort of turn the game around at any moment. You know, we played that counter-attacking football where we could just invite pressure and then we'd zip down the other end and we'd score a couple goals and that would be game over. So, to be honest, I think we were probably more scary playing like that than we were this ultra-attacking football, especially now that we can't score. But granted, we haven't given Bruno enough time, so I don't think it's fair to make an extreme judgment on that yet. But for now, I would say under Nuno.
Yeah.
I think 12 months ago, we'd probably been found out and teams knew how to play against us, and we were having something of an identity crisis at that point. We haven't seen enough of Bruno's football. I think early doors, what we've seen from Bruno when we've got the high-intensity pressing, we look quite dangerous and we do look scary, but then we've had a couple of games where the press hasn't been on and it hasn't worked quite as effectively and it doesn't look as scary. So if it was Nuno 2 years ago, I would say that one definitely, but the jury's out at the minute on which one's the most effective. I think we'll know maybe in 4 or 5 months' time, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
I think just to sit on the fence again.
Yeah, I was going to say it'd be interesting to sort of see. And I think, because we've played a different style this season, I think it's sort of thrown a few teams. But at the end of the day, I think you're only threatening if you score goals. You know, it's like that Adama Traoré tweet, I think it was post Brentford, where some content, social media content, I can't even think of a word, like account, there we go. Like tweeted, what would you do if you were a defender up against Adama Traoré? And they were like, I'd step out of the way, let him run to the byline, and then I'd take my position for a goal kick. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of brutal but fair. But actually, you know, the only thing scary really about of footballers or football teams from scoring goals. So, you know, I think give it time and fingers crossed that we'll be, you know, more feared under Large than we were under Nuno at any point. But that just about wraps up today's show. Big thank you to everyone who listened. Make sure you check out our sponsors, Pixel Yeti Media, for all of your marketing needs. And also make sure you check out any of the stuff over at 19min as well. We're part of their podcast network. So if you're interested, I know we're all Wolves fans here. If you're not a Wolves fan listening to this and you've knocked through an hour of this and you want to, you know, learn about other teams as well, go check them out as well. We will be back to preview the Newcastle game next. I was going to say happening next weekend. But until then, make sure you keep up to date with all things Wolves at Wolves Fancast. That's on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And also make sure you like and share and subscribe to our YouTube page as well, because we're on there as well. And we greatly appreciate it. But until next time, it's goodbye from Blake.
See ya.
It's goodbye from Andy.
See you later.
And it's goodbye from me. See you next time.